You can put your Bible on the ground for a minute. Just 1 second, just put it away. I had a story to tell you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for all the different kind of people you've made and all the different languages and how much you love us all and have a plan for our life. And I pray that you bless us, and I pray we have a great time tonight. Pray we would learn and that you would stir our hearts to want to learn more. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to ask Alex one more thing. Alex, I'm sorry, but I know como se va. How do you say how are you? What is your name? Como tu t'appelles? Como tu t'appelles? Good? Good? Everyone say como?
Como
tu t'appelles?
T'appelle.
Is that correct? Perfect, perfect. Hey, we perfect. Now the trick is going to be able to say it in 5 minutes from now. And we're, como tu t'appelles? Now you can't just say tu t'appelles. You got to catch the head by the head. Say como tu t'appelles? Perfect, perfect, yeah, perfect. Hold, please. Tu t'appelles, tu t'appelles, tu t'appelles. Okay. That's how you learn, though. You got to ask questions. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything from nothing. Evolution says that everything came about by natural causes. The Bible says he created everything from nothing. God created a man and Adam and a woman named Eve, and he told them if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. Satan came along and says, you won't die, but you'll be in control of your own life. You do what you want to do. So they sinned, and their relationship with God died. The Bible says after they sinned, they tried to cover their sin, hide from God, and they blamed each other. Then God brought about a man named Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Abraham had a son named Isaac when he was 100 years old. Isaac means laughter, because when God told him he was going to have a baby at 100, his wife laughed. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel when he wrestled with the angel all night. Israel had 12 sons, and one of them was Joseph. Joseph had a dream that his family would bow down to him, and his brothers got mad and sold him into slavery, and they took him to Egypt. When Joseph went to Egypt, he worked for a man named Potiphar, whose wife had a thing for him. She tried to sleep with him. He kept saying no, so she accused him of rape, and he went to prison. And in prison, Joseph interpreted someone's dream. And when that person whose dream he interpreted got released from prison, he went back to work for the Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream, and no one could interpret it. So the ex-con told Pharaoh that there was someone in prison who could interpret his dream. So they got Joseph out of prison, and he said, here's your dream. You're going to have 7 years of plenty, where a lot of food is going to grow in Egypt. Then you're going to have 7 years of famine. So what you need to do is collect all the food during the seven plenty years, and when everyone else is starving, you'll be in control of the food. So Pharaoh said, that's a good idea. Matter of fact, I'm going to make you in charge of the food. So Joseph, Jacob's son, became the food czar in Egypt. Now, when Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt, they told the dad he was dead. So back in Canaan, the dad thought he was dead. Well, what happened was there was a famine, and all the people went to Egypt to get the food. And Joseph's father, Jacob, learned there was someone in Egypt who had the food, so he sent the sons to go get the food. And they came down, they bowed down to Joseph because he had the food. They didn't know it was their brother. And so they found it was their brother. All the Jews went to Egypt. There was about 70 of them. They grew to 2 million people over 400 years. All the pharaohs died. Joseph died. All his family died. Now there's 2 million Jews. And so the pharaoh got intimidated by all these Jews. He says, what we got to do is we got to kill all the boys, all the baby boys. If you don't want to wipe out a race, just kill the men. Keep the women, because you're going to impregnate the women with your own race and start a whole new race. So they started killing all the little boys. Moses was born with a death sentence on his head. Moses' mother, who was born a Jew, after Pharaoh said kill all the babies, his mother put him in a little ark, a little basket, sealed it up, waterproof, and put it in the water. Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water and saw Moses' baby in the basket. She picked him up, she adopted him, and he grew for 40 years in Moses in Pharaoh's home. When he was 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Him knowing he was a Hebrew, went and killed the Egyptian. Then he ran. He was a fugitive for 40 years. At 80 years old, after 40 years living in Pharaoh's home, 40 years living as a fugitive, he met God in the burning bush at Mount Sinai. God told him, I want you to go back and live with my people. He says, I'm nobody. Who am I? God said, it ain't about who you are. It's about whose you are, who you belong to. You belong to me. Go back. And I want you to tell him, I'm going to send 10 plagues on them, and if they don't listen, I'm going to beat down all of Egypt. So Pharaoh was hard-headed, and he said, I ain't letting the people go. Plague after plague after plague. The 10th plague, God says, I'm going to send down the angel of death, and he's going to pass through Egypt and kill the firstborn boy of every family unless you have the blood of the lamb on the door. So all the Jews put the blood of the lamb on the door, and the angel of death passed over their house. Then they were delivered, and they walked around for 40 years, and they started murmuring, complaining. All the people murmuring and complaining were killed in the wilderness because God didn't want them in the promised land because they didn't believe. They finally got to Mount Sinai where they got the law. They got the Ten Commandments. And at Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain, got the Ten Commandments twice. He had to go up and back twice because the people were doing some crazy mess we're going to talk to in a few minutes. And then after he got the Ten Commandments, they built the tabernacle and he got the rest of the law. Now, there's two reasons I tell you that story. One, next week, we're going to pick up that story. We're going from Genesis 1, the creation of the world, to Mount Sinai. Next week, we're going to pick up that story, and we're going to study the book of Leviticus. Everyone say Leviticus.
Leviticus.
Say Leviticus. Leviticus. It's a book that probably very few of you ever read or really understand or like to read because it's so technical. We're going to learn that book, and it's going to be so exciting that we're going to give you little buttons. It's going to say, ask me about Leviticus. And people are going to ask you about Leviticus, and you're going to tell them. You're going to say, here's what it's about, and you're going to blow them away by how much you know. And we're going to study Leviticus from starting from next week all the way up to Easter. And I want you to be praying about who you're going to invite to Easter because we're going to be at Cox Arena, all the services, all six services at one time at Cox Arena like last year. The other reason I tell you all that stuff I just told you is that we're going to have a quiz today. And in about 40 minutes, you're going to know all the stuff I just said and be able to rattle it off. Now, some of you already know it, but a lot of you don't. And you're going to be able to rattle it off to anybody you want. You ready? Okay, what is the master quiz position? Booty back. Everyone sit up straight. Put your booty back in your seat. Put your Bible down, your notes down. You don't need any paper, any pen, just your brains and your mouth. Your mouth, the big mouth. Ah, everyone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Look to the person next to you, say, I'm ready like Freddy to rock real steady. If you are a visitor, if you are a visitor, here's how the quiz works. I ask a question. I then tell you the answer, then I ask you the question again, and you tell me the answer. This is something you participate in. It's not something you just sit back and listen. You learn better when you say than when you listen. You learn better when you write than when you read. You learn better when you do than when you watch. What we're going to do is we're going to say, okay? We're going to have a lot of fun. It's interactive, back and forth, back and forth. This is my sixth one. I am more tired than all of you combined, and so there's no mercy. We all got to come participate. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, Genesis, the book of beginnings. Everyone say beginnings.
Beginnings.
Say beginnings.
Beginnings.
Genesis, the book of?
Beginnings.
Bara, the Hebrew word for created, says that God created everything from nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
God created everything from nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
God created everything from?
Nothing.
God created everything from?
Nothing.
Only God can create. God can make something from absolutely nothing. You and I can never do that. We always have to have something to start with. God can make it from nothing. The devil perverts what God made. He takes beautiful things that God made and perverts them. He perverts them to destroy you and to discredit God. Okay? Genesis is the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis is the book of?
Beginning.
Bottom means God created everything from?
Nothing.
Evolution claims that everything resulted from natural causes. Say natural.
Natural.
Say natural.
Natural.
Evolution says everything resulted from natural causes. What kind of causes?
Natural.
What kind of causes? We believe as a church, and I say we, the leadership of the church, believe that evolution is wrong, it's not true, it's unscientific and unbiblical. Now, I know some of you believe in evolution. I know that all your schools teach it. It's not true. I'll kind of touch on it throughout the message. There is a tape series in the bookstore on evolution and creation called Who's Your Daddy? It's either ape or God. It's very important for you to understand what evolution really means. And again, I don't want to get too much into it, but I'll tell you this. Evolution basically says that everything resulted by natural scientific causes. So what that says is that there is no first cause person or God. It just happened by itself, by chance. So that means all the planets and all the stars and all the matter in the universe and all the life on this planet just happened to start by chance, by accident. I was watching a Lexus commercial. Lexus has got the best commercials. And it was today's Lexus commercial was about the new windshield wipers that are rain sensitive. You ever see that? when the water comes on, I'm so happy for you. But I'm trying to preach a sermon, okay? Where are you from now? You're from where? Antigua?
Manteca.
Manteca, okay. Okay, good. Anyway, in this commercial, Lexus has these car where when the water hits the windshield wipers, the windshield wipers decide when they should wipe. You know how you put windshield wipers on pause and every 5 seconds they do that? Whether you have water or not, this one only comes up when there's water on the windshield. It's so smart. I would never think that it would ever work, but I guess it does. So this car is in the Amazon rainforest jungle. How it got there, I'm sure the monkeys were wondering how this thing got it. And it's sitting there, and it's all fake, but you know, they got the little monkeys up there going like that. And it's waiting for it to rain. So it's sweet. It's sitting there, and it's like, and the guy's voice is so perfect. He says, the Lexus, whatever, is sending, it's rain sensitive, and it the windshield wipe is wiped when the water comes on. And we're in the rainforest, and we're just sitting there. No rain. It'll happen any second now. The rain will come down, and the windshield wipers will wipe. Because it's not raining and the sun is out, the automatic sun visor in the back window goes up. He goes, oh, did I tell you about the rear view sun visor window shade? He just goes, doop. They tricked you. But the point is that you're looking at this car and going, if I told you that nobody designed that car, would you believe me? Oh, wait. It just evolved over millions of years. With all this technology and design and purpose and coordinating and computers, you would never believe that. Why would you believe that you, we're not even talking about the plants, the animals, the fish, the bugs, the blue planet we live on that sustains life, that's so complicated. You are so much more complicated. You have electrical current going through your body. You have oxygen and being transferred through your lungs. You have trillions of cells, trillions of chemical reactions happening every second in your body. You have memory, a soul, an intelligence, personality, things you can't even touch that are not even physical. And yet it happened by itself? Do you have any idea why, even in your universities, I know all your professors, teachers, and I know you respect your professors, but I'm sorry. The Bible says the wise shall become foolish before God. Do you ever wonder why billions and billions of dollars and all this research and they still call it a theory? I rest my case. Evolution says everything was brought about by what kind of causes?
Natural.
Say what kind of causes?
Natural.
Bible claims that God created everything. Bible claims God did it with everything. The Bible claims that God, what, everything?
Created.
Say created.
Created.
Say created.
Created.
God made Adam and Eve. He told them if they sinned, they would die. If they sinned, they would what?
Die.
They sinned, they would what?
Die.
Satan said, no, you won't die. Satan's number one weapon was a twofold lie. His first part of his lie said, if you sin, you won't die. You won't what?
Die.
You won't what?
Die.
Okay, are you guys tired? Because I am very tired, and you're going to die. Created. Help my brother out. Satan said, if you sin, you won't what?
Die.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Comment tu t'appelles? Comment tu t'appelles? Comment ça va? Mon amour, je chame bon, je vais vous dire. You're like, mon amour. Today, what was that? God told Adam and Eve they eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would die. Say die.
Die.
Say die.
Die.
Satan's number one weapon was a twofold lie. First one said, if you sin, you won't die. You won't what?
Die.
But you could be in control of your life. Say control.
Control.
Say control.
Control.
Satan said, you won't what?
Die.
But you can be in what?
Control.
Adam and Eve sinned. They tried to do three things when they sinned. They tried to cover their sin. Say cover.
Cover.
Hide from God. Say hide.
Hide.
Say blame each other. Say blame.
Blame.
Say it again. They tried to cover their sin. Say cover. Nope. Satan's first step was to create doubt in the validity of God's word. Create doubt in the validity of God's what?
Word.
The validity of God's what?
Word.
The Da Vinci Code. the whole purpose of the Da Vinci Code by the devil. Did the devil? The devil's behind anything that creates doubt in God's word. He's a mastermind, so he creates these books and then a movie and all this interesting stuff that makes you go, I wonder if Jesus was married. I wonder if that is Mary in that picture. I wonder if the Bible's not true. That's the whole purpose. The devil's so much, he's not going to tell you that. He's going to do it, and you go, oh, what a neat book. Oh, what a neat concept. Millions of people read it, and more millions are going to watch the movie, and they're going to come at that movie going, the Bible's not true. The whole purpose of the movie. Book of Daniel, this new show on TV, is garbage. It's garbage. Why? Because the devil's very smart. He's raising up a generation of people who think all this sinful stuff is normal. He's smart. His number one weapon is a twofold lie that if you sin, you won't what?
Die.
But you can be in what of your life?
Control.
And his first step was to create doubt in the ability of God's what?
Word.
In the ability of God's what?
Word.
Adam and Eve sinned, and they did three things. First, they tried to what their sin?
Word.
And then they tried to what from God?
Die.
They tried to do what to each other?
Faith.
Abraham's the father of faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say it three times.
Abraham
is the father of faith. He's the father of three religions. One starts with a J. Say Judaism.
Judaism.
I for Islam. Say Islam.
Islam.
C for Christianity. Say Christianity.
Christianity.
The three faiths that come from Abraham are what?
Judaism, Islam,
say it again.
Judaism, Islam,
one more time.
Judaism, Islam,
Abraham had three sons. Abraham was one of three patriarchs in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac.
Isaac
had a son named Jacob. Say Jacob.
Jacob.
Say the three together. Abraham.
Abraham, Isaac,
one more time.
Abraham, Isaac,
say it again.
Abraham, Isaac,
say it backwards.
Jacob, Isaac, Abraham.
Very good. Abraham had his, see how smart you are? Abraham had a son named Isaac when he was 100 years old. 100. Everyone say 100.
100.
H-U-N-I-D. Say 100. When God told Abraham he was going to have a son, he laughed and his wife laughed. She was 90. He said, ain't going to happen, big fella. Ain't going to happen. Why was it going to happen? One, she was 92. She was past the age of childbearing. And three, she was sterile. She could never have babies. So what was God talking about? God could do anything he wants to do. God could do anything he wants to do. Abraham had a son named what?
Isaac.
How old was Abraham when he had him?
Isaac.
How old was he?
Isaac,
Isaac means laughter. Ha ha ha, everyone say laughter.
Laughter.
Why? Because when he told me he was going to have a son, he laughed. He says, I'm having a son of my old age. He means laughter. Say laughter.
Laughter.
Say laughter.
Laughter.
Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as what?
Righteousness.
Credit to him as what?
Righteousness.
As what?
Righteousness.
Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac had a son named what?
Jacob.
Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
Wow, I wonder when you learned that. You know what? You learned that a long time ago, some of y'all, and it's still in your brain. Because your brain knows it. You just don't know you know it. And your brain was like, go ahead, say it. I know it. Go ahead, say it. Isaac, Jacob's name was changed to Israel when he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. Angel with a capital A is who?
Jesus.
Angel with a capital A is who?
Jesus.
Anytime you read the Old Testament, it says the Lord or the angel of the Lord with a capital A, that's Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He showed up all the time as a man, as an angel. Went in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talked to Abraham when he negotiated for Sodom and Gomorrah. He was all around all the time, and he wrestled with Jacob all night. He wrestled with Jacob all night. Who did he wrestle with all night?
Jacob.
And he changed Jacob's name to what?
Israel.
Israel had how many sons?
12.
How many sons?
12.
Say it again.
12.
One more time.
12
is the number of governmental perfection in the Bible. God has 12 months that govern the year. He has two 12-hour periods that govern the day. Abraham had 12 sons. There's 12 constellations in the sky. The devil made the constellations in the sky your zodiac, saying if you look at them and look in the newspaper, it's going to tell you something. Horoscope. The devil says, here's how stupid the devil plays us to be. I'm going to put something in the paper. I'm going to call it the horoscope so you can scope into the horror of your life. And you read it. You go, yeah, I want to. The Bible says that the stars declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know that every month, those 12 constellations, Aries, I'm an Aries, Libra, Aquarius, all of those constellations, all those names, the Hebrews names, the stars, Hebrew names that God gave the stars. And each one of those names has three small names, small stars in addition to them. And each one of them is 1/12 of the gospel message. Yes. Go to a Christian bookstore and get a book on the gospel and the stars. And just read it. And God just has the whole gospel going by like a movie every year. And the devil said, no, that's not the movie, that's your life. And if you were born under this star, no. God's just showing you the gospel. He's the one who named them. And so, anyway, the devil, he's perverted so much stuff. I mean, I talk about sexual purity all the time. Let me tell you something. Sex is a wonderful thing that God made for a man and his wife, and it is a horrible, perverted thing when the devil uses it his way. Horrible. You think of all the people that have been ruined because they were involved in sex at a very young age, or they were raped or molested or whatever. And God, so the devil can take a very beautiful thing that God made and use it to destroy your life. That's how smart he is. And convince you to voluntarily use it the way you want to destroy your life. So when the Bible tells you don't do something, it's not telling you to prevent you from having fun. It's protecting you from something that you don't know about. Well, we think we know everything. We don't. You got to trust God. Trust God. Okay? Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
How many sons did he have?
12.
And he wrestled all night with who?
Jesus.
He wrestled all night with who?
Jesus.
One of his sons was Joseph. Everyone say Joseph.
Joseph
had a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was a what?
Dreamer.
Say it again.
Dreamer.
And so his brother says, we ain't bowing down to you. So they sold him into slavery. They sold him into what?
Slavery.
Into what?
Slavery.
And they took him to where?
Egypt.
Very Egypt. They took him to Egypt. Say Egypt.
Egypt.
Say Egypt.
Egypt.
So Jacob had a son named Joseph. Joseph was a what?
Dreamer.
And a what?
Dreamer.
And he told his brothers they would one day do what to him? And they said, no. And they sold him into what?
Slavery.
And they took him to where?
Egypt.
And he worked for Potiphar. Say Potiphar.
Potiphar.
Say Potiphar.
Potiphar.
And Potiphar's wife had a thing for her brother. She was trying to push up on him, sweat him, to get the digits. And she was trying to get him to bed. Constantly, she was, Joe. Say Joe. That's how she said his name. Say Joe. The Bible says she had longing eyes for her brother. She was like this. Joseph got saved into sold into what?
Slavery.
They took him to where?
Egypt.
And he worked for who?
Potiphar.
And Potiphar's wife had what kind of eyes?
Mommy.
And how does she say his name?
Joe.
Say it again.
Joe.
She said, Joe, you're so sexy, I just can't stop. And she was, and he kept giving her eyes, but get back, woman, get back. And then she, why? So she finally grabbed him and says, I want you now. And she ripped off his cloak and he ran out like Forrest. And she said, Forrest Gump. And she said, look, he tried to rape me. She accused him of what?
Rape.
She accused him of what?
Rape.
And he got sent to where?
Rape.
Now you just knew that was next. You have to look at the notes for that one. The brother goes to prison. He has a dream. Someone in prison has a dream. He interprets the dream. That person gets out and works for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has a dream. Here's Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh had a dream that there were 7 big fat cows. 7 skinny cows. And 7 skinny cows ate the fat cows. Then he had another dream. There was 7 big stalks of grain and 7 little stalks. And little stalks ate the big ones. He said, I don't know how to interpret my dream. They got Joseph out of prison. They said, Joseph, here's a dream. And Joseph said, the 7 big cows and 7 big stalks of grain mean that you're going to have 7 years of plenty. A lot of food. The 7 skinny cows and the 7 little stalks of grain that ate the big ones, you're going to have 7 years of famine. Here's what you need to do. You need to collect food during the 7 plenty years and store it up. So when everybody else is starving, they come to you and you sell them the food. Pharaoh said, that's a good plan. You the boss. Let me give you a little piece of advice, especially for all you youngins. You want to make some money? Get a pen out. You want to make some money? I know you do. Write this down, at least in your brain. If you ever have a job, you always want to come to your boss with the solution to any problem you tell him about. You don't want to be the person that says, oh, here's this problem, here's this problem, here's this problem. You want to say, sir, there's a problem over here, but I have a plan to fix it. You will get promoted quicker. You will get promoted quicker. Matter of fact, if you have someone in your life that has a problem, don't come up to them and tell them they got messed up. Tell them how to fix the problem. Joseph said, you got a problem, you're going to have a famine, here's what you need to do. He got the job right on the spot. He wasn't even applying for the job. He just got it. Why? Because God told him what the answer was. Joseph's brothers sold him in slavery because he was a what? He was a what? They sold him into what? And they took him to where? He worked for who? And Potiphar's wife had what kind of eyes? And how did she say his name? And she accused him of what? He got sent to where? And he told Pharaoh he had a dream, and his dream was to have 7 years of what?
Plenty.
Say plenty.
Plenty.
And 7 years of what?
Famine.
Say plenty.
Plenty.
Famine.
Famine.
Genesis is the book of?
Beginnings.
Genesis is the book of?
Beginnings.
Exodus is the book of two words. You're going to say exit?
Exit.
From?
From.
No, I say from. You say Egypt. Exodus is the book of, I'm going to say what, and you're going to say exit, and I'm going to say from where, and you're going to say Egypt. Exodus is the book of what?
Exit.
From where?
Egypt.
Say it again, what?
Exit.
From where?
Egypt.
Okay, everyone look at the red exit sign. See the red exit sign? Everyone take a look. We got them all over the place. We're fire code. See the exit sign? Everyone see them? What's the first two letters?
Yes.
What's the first two letters in Exodus?
Yes.
What's the first letter in Egypt? What does that mean? You're never going to forget it. Now, that's what that means. Anytime you're walking out, you're going, I'm exiting from Egypt. I'm on the Exodus. Okay? And whoever's in front of you, that's Moses, okay? Genesis is the book of? Exodus is the book of what?
Exodus.
From where?
Egypt.
Who? I think my brain is short-circuiting. Okay. Exodus is the book of what?
Exodus.
From where?
Egypt.
When Moses was born in Egypt, there was 2 million or so Jews, and there was a death sentence put on all the little baby boys. So Moses was born with a death sentence on his head. He was born with a what on his head?
Death.
What kind of sentence?
Death.
What kind of sentence?
Death.
His mother made a little ark, just like Noah's made an ark for it to save his family. His mother made a little ark and sealed it with pitch or grease and made it watertight and put it in the water and saved Moses. She put the baby in the water and said, hopefully someone will save him because she didn't want him to be killed. Moses' mother put him in a what?
Ark.
I put him in a what?
Ark.
Everyone say ark.
Ark.
Say ark.
Ark.
Then Pharaoh's daughter walked down to the water and saw him in the ark. This is daughter. This is wife. Because wives should not be doing this, okay? So Pharaoh's daughter, she walked on down. Hey, old lady say hey.
Hey.
So what did you do in church tonight, honey? Oh, we were just hey. Oh. Como tu chapel. Where was that? Okay, so Pharaoh's daughter go down. Pharaoh's what found Moses?
Daughter.
The what?
Daughter.
The what?
Daughter.
Potiphar's what like Joe?
Daughter.
And she had what kind of eyes?
Daughter.
And how did she say his name?
Joe.
Hey. Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in her house, and he lived there for 40 years. How many years did he live in Pharaoh's home?
40.
And then he saw an Egyptian beating on a Hebrew, and he killed him. K-I-L-T, say kilt.
Kilt.
Say kilt.
Kilt.
And then he ran. He was a fugitive for 40 years in the wilderness. How long was he a fugitive?
40.
How long did Moses live in Pharaoh's home?
40.
How long did he live as a fugitive?
40.
Say it again.
40.
Say it again.
40.
Three times.
40.
That's exactly how long he lived, 40 times three. He lived 40 years in Pharaoh's home, 40 years as a fugitive, and then 40 years walking around with the Hebrews. 40 is the number of testing. 3 is the number of divine perfection. He lived 3 to 40-year periods. What? Oh. The Bible says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. The most what man on the face of the earth?
Humble.
He died on Mount Nebo. What's this?
Nebo.
Say Nebo.
Nebo.
Say Nebo.
Nebo.
He died on Mount Nebo. Say what?
Nebo.
Okay. This is Mount Sinai. Sinuses. What? What's this? That's right. Sudafed, you know, that kind of stuff. Claritin, all that stuff. I got all that stuff. I got sinus problems. Moses saw God at the burning bush. Burning what?
Bush.
What kind of bush?
Bush?
At Mount what?
Sinai.
He died on Mount what?
Nebo.
And he saw God at the Mount what?
Sinai.
At the burning what?
Bush.
The what kind of bush?
Burning.
It was burning with what?
Fire.
Fire. Fire. You can't say Sinai, you have to say Sinai. Mount what?
Sinai.
Very good. And God said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. He said, okay. And then he says, what do you want me to do? I want you to go back and tell my people, let my people go. Pharaoh, let my people go. And God and Moses says, who are you? He says, I am that I am. What did God say his name was?
I am.
One more time.
I am.
Now, let me tell you something. I want you to imagine a basketball. Just imagine a basketball. Imagine the basketball is the universe as we know it. It's expanding at the speed of light. Everything that we know to be in the universe is in the basketball. Multiplied by whatever, how many times. When God created the universe, he created a system that is governed by scientific laws. Gravity, astronomical physics, chemistry, biology, botany, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thermodynamics, all kind of laws of science that are observable and learnable. Science is the gathering of information through experimentation and observation. Okay? So through scientific discipline, you can discover all these laws and learn about them. You learn about the second law of thermodynamics, which says everything is falling apart, even the universe, and it's going to one day fall apart. So when you study the universe, there's all these laws that are governing it and keeping it in place, keeping all the planets where they're supposed to be, keeping our Earth inhabitable, keeping us alive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in the universe, if you study all that stuff, you learn a few things. One, everything has a beginning. Everything's going to die. Everything's falling apart. Everything's decaying. And the universe is expanding at the speed of light. When God said, I am that I am, people will always say, well, if everything had a beginning, what gave God his beginning? Everything in the basketball has a beginning. God exists outside the basketball. The laws that's in the basketball in our universe, more specifically on our planet, don't apply to God. He exists outside. He created the universe and imposed those laws on the universe, but he did not impose them on himself. They are not imposed on himself. He lives by a whole different set of rules. He had no beginning. He is the beginningless beginner, the uncaused cause. So when people say, well, that doesn't, we don't understand God because the laws that we have say this, but God is not subjected to our laws. When Jesus Christ became a man, he humbled himself and became a man and submitted himself voluntarily to those laws. He lived 33 years. He was born. He had to deal with everything we do. He got hungry. He got sleepy. He was crucified. He bled and he died. But then he rose from the dead. And he was exalted because he came from a whole different place with a whole different set of rules. So when God said, I am that I am, what God was saying was, I had no beginning, I will have no end. Where I come from, the rules are totally different than where you come from. Just trust me. So the only thing I can tell you is I am that I am. That's how I can, as simple as I can make it for you. So when people say that you evolve, I'm going back to that now because it's very important. When people say you evolve and that science alone brought you into existence, you have no eternal purpose. You're an accident. Survival of the fittest. Racism. The Nazis killing the Jews, abortion, it's all, the whole foundation of all of that is in evolution. Why? Because it's whoever is the strongest, whoever's the mightiest, whoever's the most rich and powerful, those are the people who survive. Everyone else is garbage. Everyone else you walk on. That's the philosophy in the animal kingdom. We're just a higher form of animal in evolution's mind. Because with evolution, if there's no God and no God involved, there's no moral fiber and no moral absolute for you to believe. There's no reason you shouldn't lie. There's no reason you shouldn't kill, steal, and rape, because who's going to hold you accountable? You're nothing but an animal, and you're going to die and go into the ground, according to evolution. God says, no, I created you with a purpose. I created you to have a relationship with me. I created you to live in harmony and love with each other, just as I want to have a relationship with you. Those two things are incompatible. So if you say you believe in evolution, or yet you believe in God, well, what you're saying is that God just set this thing in motion and stepped back and let it happen. No, no, no. The Bible says he's walking with you every day. He's involved in your life. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to love you, encourage you, and talk to you every second of every day of every part of your life. And when you die, he wants to take you to heaven. You know, there's a little verse in the Bible that says that not one little sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. It's so fascinating to me. I don't know if you knew this, that every plant, every animal, every ant, every fish, every bug, every tree, every bush has its own DNA. Do you know that? That every tree has its own DNA. You could take one leaf off one tree and trace it back to that one tree. It's individual. And every little bird is coded, number. Every little ant has a number. God numbered them all. Wow. Where'd all that variety come from? Accident? Please. There's so much. It's so infinite. It's so infinite. And God says, every single one of them I know and I cherish and I love so much. Every single one of you. You know, all the animal kingdom, the human baby, the human infant is the most dependent infant in all the animal kingdom. You take an ant baby. They're not nursed and sent to preschool and walked around in baby carriages. They're born and they just go home, go out and play. Did y'all see the March of the Penguins? Who did not see the March of the Penguins? Very good. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Tell you from my heart. From my heart. Go see that movie. I almost cried at the end. I'm serious. These penguins walk 3 days straight, 24 hours a day. They walk 70 miles out of the ocean. They're birds that swim and they're walking. A penguin is a bird that swims, but yet this bird that swims is walking. 70 miles to the place where they were born. And then they find a mate, they mate, whatever they, you know, and then, the plan is that the mother's going to have a baby, an egg. The egg is going to be on her feet. They're standing on ice. She's going to pass the egg to the father. The egg cannot touch the ice or it will die. So they practice passing, putting their feet together and pressing this egg. She has the egg. She passes the egg. It sits on his feet where his stomach sits on top of the egg to keep it warm. She then walks 70 miles back to the ocean and leaves him there for over 2 months, standing there with the egg. No food. The egg hatches. He's standing there. 100-mile-an-hour winds, 80 below zero. All these male penguins with the babies. The mother is in the ocean, swimming and eating, feeding to come back and bring food. Now that brother's like, please come back. She can die of starvation. She can get eaten by a sea lion. There's a whole bunch of stuff that can prevent her from coming back. He's sitting there waiting by faith that she will come back. He hasn't eaten for 3 months by the time he gets to eat. He stands there with the baby. Baby's born. Now the egg, if it falls off his feet, dies. And they show these eggs, because the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour, all these guys are standing there. You think she's coming back? I don't know, brother. She better come back. It's kind of cold out here for her, brother. And if the egg falls off and rolls down, the ice is so cold, it'll crack the egg and kill the baby. The whole project is done. And that happened in the movie. She's out there swimming. She comes walking back, full stomach. He hasn't eaten in 3 months. The baby's born. The baby hasn't eaten. She feeds the baby. Now he's got to walk back and go get his food. She stays there. He goes, eats. He then comes back to see her again. Then they have a little family time. And then they all walk back to the ocean. And when they get to the ocean, this is all in 7 months. When they all get to the ocean, the mother and father go in the water and leave the baby behind. And that's it. They never see each other again. That's when I almost cried. I was like, the baby. Why do I tell you all that? When you and I are born, God said, you are going to be dependent on your parents, some of you, for the rest of your life. Unfortunately. But minimum 15, 16 years for, you know, runaways. 18 years for, you know. Why? He made us to be dependent. We did not evolve. How is it that we are the most intelligent and educated, evolved creatures, yet we're the most dependent at birth? It doesn't make sense. Why? Because God created us that way. Why? Because we need to be dependent on Him for the rest of our life. It's a relationship. He created us for relationship. You are not a higher form. Oh, yes, we are superior. God made us that way. It says that in the book. So He says, I am that I am. I go back to this basketball. I go back to the whole thing. He said, I made all this. I'm outside of it. I had no beginning and no end. Let me go back to the quiz. Moses' first encounter with God was at the what bush?
Burning.
Say it again.
Burning.
At Mount what?
Sinai.
God said, he said, what's your name? God said.
I am.
Say it again. And then He said, I want you to go back to live with the Jews. Moses says, who am I? He said, don't worry about who you are. Worry about whose you are. You belong to me. He said, don't worry about who you are. Worry about what?
Who?
Say whose.
Who?
Say whose.
Who?
You remember trying to get into the party, and you couldn't get into the party unless you were on the list. And if you didn't know anybody to put you on the list, you just had to try to get in by, hey, you know, I know someone. You know, whatever. But if someone said, listen, I'm throwing a party, your name will be on the list, and just ask for me. Then all of a sudden, you would have confidence because you knew somebody. And you knocked on the door and said, yo, is Guido there? He told me I was going to be on the list. Guido. I don't know. God said, don't worry about how much money you have, Moses, your education, how good you look, or whatever. Just worry about that you belong to me. God doesn't want us to be worried about all those things other than we have a relationship with Him. And it's an equal opportunity God. We could all have a relationship with Him. So He told Moses, don't worry about it. You go back to Pharaoh, you confront the most powerful man in the world. All you got to do is know is I'm with you. Amen? God saw Moses the first time at the burning what?
Bush.
On Mount what?
Sinai.
And God said His name was?
I am.
Say it one more time.
I am.
He says, I am that I am. And God said, don't worry about who you are, worry about?
Bush.
Then He's very good. And He says, look, I want you to tell the Jews to put the blood of the lamb on the door. The blood of the what?
Lamb.
The blood of the what? On the what? So the angel of death will pass over your house. The angel of what?
Death.
The angel of what?
Death.
The angel of what?
Death.
Will do what to your house?
Passover.
Will do what to your house?
Passover.
The blood of the what?
Lamb.
The blood of the lamb will cause the angel of death to pass over you. What is salvation? That the blood of the lamb, Jesus is the lamb that was slain, the Bible says. And His blood who was shed on the cross covers your sin. If Jesus' blood of the lamb who shed for your sin covers your sin, the angel of death will pass over you. That's salvation. It's all through the Bible. There's so many allusions to Christ in the Old Testament. They point directly to who He said He was, what He did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how it's so foolproof that He is, because he met all the qualifications, hundreds of them. And we're going to talk about that as we go through the book of Leviticus. After they left the Exodus, they started to walk around and people started to complain. Say complain.
Complain.
Say complain.
Complain.
Out of all the people who complained, guess how many made it to the Promised Land?
None.
Everyone say none.
None.
Say none.
If
you are someone who complains all the time, you're never going to really experience the full joy of God in your life. You know some of the things that you don't like happen in your life, God wants to happen into your life? Some of the pain, some of the disappointments in your life are God designed. Now, why? Because at the time they happen, you don't want it to happen. But when you look back, and I use this illustration a lot, and I know it'll ring true with a lot of you. Think back to that girlfriend you had when you were 14, if you had one at 14. Or boyfriend. Or the person you had a crush on at 14. We all had a crush. Think back. If that really would have been your eventual wife or husband, God saved you. He saves us from a lot of stuff we think we want. He does. Amen? But at the time, we don't know it because we want it. And He's like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. When you grow up, you realize it was a big mistake, so I'm protecting you from yourself. So if you're complaining all the time, you're never going to really see the blessing God has for you right in front of you. We're almost done. Ten commandments. Ten commandments were given two times. Say two.
Two.
Say two.
Two.
Say two, two, two.
Two, two,
two. And they were given two times because Moses went up on the mountain and he was up there 40 days and 40 nights. And they were like, where's Moses at? So they said, why don't we do? Why don't we make a golden calf? They took up the earrings and gold chains because when they left Egypt, they took all the gold from Egyptians. And they said, we'll put it in the fire. And they made this gold calf, this idol. And they bowed down to the gold calf and said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Isn't that dumb? We do it all the time. Whenever you look to your jobs, get married, getting a car, a house, more money as being your security, you do the same thing. You end up worshiping that thing as a thing that's going to make you happy. And many times God doesn't give it to you because you view it and idolize it wrongly. Let it go. Worship God. He'll take care of a lot of stuff. You know what Adam was doing when he got Eve, his wife? Sleeping. He wasn't like, yo, get me a woman tonight. He was like this. Did God hook a brother up? Yes? No? If I wake up and there's a woman standing in front of me and she ain't got no clothes on and she says she's my wife and God says go make babies, I think that's a hookup. That's a hookup. I'm just telling you my opinion. I don't know. But I hope he would hook me up like that. Nah, you got to throw your rap on. You got to throw a date. He said, no, Adam, just sleep. When you wake up, his side was hurting a little bit. You ever hear that joke about the little boy in kindergarten? He went to kindergarten, and he heard a story about Adam and Eve, how God took Eve, Adam's wife, out of his rib. And so, like a week later, the kid was on the ground. He had a stomach ache. He was like, oh! And his mother said, what's wrong? He's on the ground, rolling around. Oh! His mother said, what's the matter? I think I'm having a wife. I don't know if that's true, but it sure does sound like it could be. Moses goes up on the mountain. He's up there 40 days. He comes down with the Ten Commandments, and they have this gold calf. He breaks the stone, has to go back up twice. How many times did Moses get the Ten Commandments? Because of the what kind of calf incident?
Gold.
What kind of calf?
Gold.
What kind of calf?
Gold.
Ten Commandments written by the finger of God. What a God?
Finger.
What God?
Finger.
How many days did Moses fast while he's on the mountain?
40.
How many days? How many years did Moses live with Pharaoh's daughter?
40.
How many years was he a fugitive?
40.
How many years did he walk around?
40.
How many days did Goliath talk trash while David killed him?
40.
How many days did it rain with Noah?
40.
How many days did Jesus fast in the desert?
40.
How many days did Elijah fast in the desert? How old am I?
Well,
I don't know about that. I told you this many times, but a woman's pregnant 40 weeks. When you go to the doctor and you're pregnant, they can tell you when your baby's born. Because what they do is they count back from the last. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they count forward from that day 40 weeks. And they say your baby's going to be born on this day. Do you think it's a coincidence that God would ordain 40 in the Bible to be used about the number of testing over and over and over again? Not 41, not 39, 40. You know that 40 lashings is a death sentence? Jesus had 39. They took him right to the limit. And then God would say, you're going to be pregnant 40 weeks. And when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the Bible says she was with child, not with tissue. And tissue, because an evolutionist, not an evolutionist, but people who promote abortion say it's just tissue. God says, no, it's a life, it's a human. It's a human that I know, that I ordained. Oh, are we stepping on toes now? Do not be worried about being politically correct. You better be God correct. Because you're going to stand before God. You ain't going to stand before the president. And your friends may believe one thing. You have only one person to account for, and that's God. And I know we have a whole lot of rights and opinions in our political, in our society. You better step back, Jack, and decide who you are accountable to. Who you are accountable to. And I'm not going to get into the women's right thing, because that will be a sermon. But that baby in you is not you. That's another person. It's not your body. That's the baby's body. You were that baby. You were that baby. And the only thing that baby needs is time and nourishment, just like you and me, time and nourishment, and that thing will walk. You know that babies are aborted and they left there gasping for air and they die right in front of the nurse? Babies are aborted alive and they let them sit there and they die right in front of the nurse because they say, we can't do anything, it's not a baby yet. That happens. We'll do one thing on abortion, it'll rock your world. And you have to know when you say you're fighting for something, what you're fighting for, because the devil will blind you and just tell you what you want to hear and get you all riled up over something that is completely wrong. The Bible's the Ten Commandments were written by the what of God?
Finger.
Say what?
Finger.
Say what?
Finger.
If someone says to you, how did Moses know all this stuff? Well, the Bible says Moses spoke to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. What the what?
Face to face.
If God's talking to you face to face and he's writing stuff with his own finger and Moses is the most humble man in the world, I think Moses can get it right. Moses can get it right. Ten Commandments written how many times?
Twice.
Because of the what calf incident?
Gold.
Ten Commandments written by what of God?
Finger.
What of God?
Finger.
Last question, two parts. It was written in stone because it indicated that it was permanent. Say permanent. Say permanent.
Permanent.
And it was written on both sides of the stone to indicate that it was complete. Say complete.
Complete.
Say complete.
Complete.
Let's start over. Let me say this before I start over. If you've had an abortion, God loves you and wants to restore you and bless your life. But just know, do not do it again. And just know that you do not believe what TV says and what politics say. Find out what God says. He loves you. He will cleanse you and restore you and whatever, if you feel guilt or like whatever it is, God is bigger than that and he says, let's move on, okay? But do know, you do not do that again. That is not an option. If you're gonna get married, I know a lot of y'all are young, you ain't married yet, do not get married with divorce as an option. Do not. If you are not 100% sure, and by the way, do not get married unless you know someone for years. Years. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. We dated for 4 before that. And that I was not saved. We were not saved. So it was like this. But we went through a whole lot of this. I knew when I was going to marry her the first time I saw her. I told my friend, I'm marrying her. And that first night, she came to a party. And my friend and I would stand on the dance floor. She came to the door. And I told my friend, I'm going to marry that girl right there. And he said, no, I'm going to marry her. I said, you don't even know her. Neither did I. I didn't know her either, but I was like, hey. And she was dancing with my friend, and I was watching her, and then I asked her to dance, and we basically danced all night. But we went through a whole lot of drama because we weren't saved. And we did everything I tell you don't do, that's what I did. But I was not saved. So I know from experience it don't work. We got saved, and then we got married. But let me tell you something. If you meet somebody, trust me, I tell you this as your friend, as your pastor, whatever you consider me, if you meet somebody today, it's going to be longer than a year or two before you really know them. Because you're going to be blinded by, oh my goodness, there's so much you don't know. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And it's not a bad thing. It's just life takes time. It takes time. Penguins can meet, boom, have a baby, and then it's okay. It's a whole different deal. We're not penguins. We're people. Okay? Okay, let's go from the beginning. Y'all ready to go from the beginning? Y'all ready to go from the beginning? Look at the person next to you and say, I'm ready.
Hey.
Oh, the lady say, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Do you know, I tell you, I've been in different countries. I've been with, you know, young people like y'all, older people, and I'll say that. It don't matter worldwide. All they say, hey, and it's instant. Hey. I don't know how y'all know that. It's like women have some kind of, you know, they got something. I don't know. Just, hey. Okay, ready? Sit up, booty back. Take a deep breath. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Genesis is the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis is the book of?
Beginning.
Bottom means that God created everything from?
Nothing.
Evolution says that everything resulted from what causes?
Natural.
The Bible says God created everything. God said, Bible says God what everything?
Created.
What everything?
Created.
God told Adam and Eve, you sin, you will.
God.
Satan says you won't. But you can be in what of your life?
Control.
His first step is to create doubt in the validity of God's
word.
After the Adam and Eve sinned, they did three things. They tried to what their sin?
Color.
What from God?
Life.
And what each other?
Name.
Abraham was the father of? Every service today and yesterday always got that one wrong. I don't know why. What did y'all say? Faith. Father of faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Abraham was the father of?
Faith.
Abraham was the father of?
Faith.
Three major religions. One is?
Jesus.
One is?
Jesus.
First one?
Jesus.
Second one?
Islam.
Third one?
Christianity.
Abraham had a son named?
Isaac
had a son named?
Jacob.
Jacob had how many sons? Let's stop right there. Those 12 sons became the Jews. That's how you get the Jews from Abraham. Those 12 sons produced Jesus. That's how you get the Christians. Abraham had another son by his wife's maid, and his name was Ishmael. That's where you get to Islam. That's how it happened. Okay? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as?
Righteousness.
Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as?
Righteousness.
Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as?
Righteousness.
The three major patriarchs are?
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
What's a patriarch? That's a big word. Did he use that? Say it again.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Say it again.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
One more time.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Say it backwards.
Jacob, Isaac, Abraham.
Abraham had Isaac when he was how old?
100.
How old?
100.
100. 100. How old?
100.
And his Isaac means?
Laughter.
Isaac means?
Laughter.
Isaac means?
Laughter.
Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
When he wrestled all night with who? And he wrestled all night with Jesus. His name was changed to what?
Israel.
How many sons did he have?
Four.
Joseph was one of his sons. They called him a what?
Dreamer.
They called him a what?
Dreamer.
He got sold into what?
Slavery.
They took him to where?
Egypt.
He worked for who?
Potiphar.
And Potiphar's wife had what?
Long.
And how did she say his name?
Joe.
Say it one more time.
Joe.
Say it with some sexy in it. She said, Joe, what's your name? Joe said, I ain't interested. Boom, boom. And she accused him of what?
Crazy.
And then they sent him to where?
Crazy.
And then he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and said, Pharaoh, you can have 7 years of?
Crazy.
And 7 years of?
Crazy.
One more time.
Crazy.
Say it again.
Crazy.
Very good. And then Genesis is the book of?
Crazy.
Exodus is the book of what?
Crazy.
From where?
Jesus.
From where?
Jesus.
What?
Yeah,
your brain is working now. You're like, what did I just say? Your brain can work faster than you think. When Moses was born, he had a what sentence on his life?
Yeah.
And his mother put him in a what?
Fire.
And Pharaoh's who found him in the water?
Fire.
And he lived how many years with her?
40.
And then he saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, and what happened? He what?
Yeah.
And then he ran and was a fugitive for how long?
40.
Moses died on Mount what?
Snebo.
Nebo. He met God on Mount what?
Sinai.
He died on Mount what?
Nebo.
Say this.
Sinai.
Say this.
Nebo.
Break it down.
Sinai.
One more time.
Nebo.
Moses was the most what man on the earth?
Humble.
Most what man on earth?
Humble.
He spoke to God
face.
Like a man speaks to his
friend.
Moses' first encounter with God is the burning what?
Bush.
What kind of bush?
Burning.
On Mount what?
And
he asked God, what's your name? And God said,
I am the Lamb.
Say it again.
I am the
Lamb. Say it backwards.
I am the Lamb.
Very good. You never thought about it. It's the same forward and backward. That's right. Hey. God said, I want to make sure you don't get it wrong. Now, I have a theory. This is a theory. It means nothing. The actual name of God, no one knows how to say because when the Jews got it, they didn't write the vowels in it, so they didn't want anyone ever to say his name. So they just put the consonants, they took the vowels out. So no one knows how to say God's name. But one of the beliefs is that it's Yahweh Vah, it's a lot of this breathing things, expressions of breath, because God gave us the life of breath, the breath of life. So I started thinking about what it could be, and there's no one knows. But if you look at the lungs, does anybody here know about the lungs? Anybody in anatomy? How many lobes we have? 5, 3, and 2, right? Is that right? Okay, we have your lungs aren't just two big bags, they're pieces. There's 2 on one side and 3 on the other side. And here I had this theory, just something, it means nothing, but it's very interesting, that when you breathe, different amounts of air come out of each lobe. And the amount of air in basic science, the different amounts of air would produce a different sound. And wouldn't it be amazing that every time you exhale, it goes, oh, and it says God's name? That's deep. God's like, Miles, ain't nothing got to do with me. But I'm going to tell you why it's interesting to me. It doesn't really matter. It's just something I like to think of crazy stuff like that. If you go to Hawaii, do you know what the Hawaiian name, the local name for white people is? Howley. Now, why do they call him a Howley? In the Hawaiian culture, when you met somebody, you would greet them and share breath. You would get very close and share breath, which is the breath of life. And you would share life by, you would greet them by sharing your life with their life. And you would just greet them this close by and share your breath. When the white man came to Hawaii, they would shake hands and they wouldn't get close. So hali means without breath. And so when they look at someone who's like dead, you say they're without breath, look like they're dead because they're white. You know what I'm saying? They're white as a sheet. They have no life in them. That's how it kind of got evolved out. But it's without breath of life. And your breath, every time you breathe, it's a symbol that you have life. And so anyway, there's just a little tangent thing here that you could think about. I am that I am. Can't get it backwards. We can't get it wrong. And I wonder what our breaths are saying every time we breathe, every time our hearts beat. You know that your heart, let's say this was your heart and your body. You know that the energy source for your heart to beat comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your brain. It has its own electrical impulse that it creates on your heart. And you can take the heart out of the body and it'll beat by itself. That God put his heart in the body and it's all beating by itself. He's the one beating it. Isn't that a trip? How? Ain't evolution. God told Moses, I want you to deliver the people. I want you to put the blood of the what on the door?
Lamb.
And if the angel of who's going to pass over?
Lamb.
The angel of death's going to do what?
Lamb.
If you have the blood of the what on the door?
Lamb.
And who's the lamb that was slain for our sin?
Jesus.
Who's the lamb that was slain for our sin?
Jesus.
Soon after they stopped, soon after they started walking through the wilderness, everyone started to what?
Complain.
Complain and murmur. Say complain.
Complain.
Say complain.
Complain.
How many people of the people who complained made it to the promised land?
None.
God spoke to Moses blank to blank like a man speaks to his blank. Got it. Ten commandments were given how many times?
Five.
Because of the what calf incident?
Gold.
What calf incident?
Gold.
The Ten Commandments were written by the what of God?
Finger.
The finger of God in that stone, God wrote it. Moses did not write it. God wrote it. Well, how did he do that? He made the heavens and the earth. He can write it in the stone. It was written in stone to mean that it was?
Permanent.
It was written in stone and to imply that it was? It was written in stone to imply that it was,
perfect.
And both sides to imply that it was,
please.
Very good. Give yourself a hand. Two things. Let me challenge you before next Sunday that if you remember in the beginning of today's message that I told you this long story, that was what you just learned. Do you remember? That before Sunday, that you would tell that to somebody. And it could be somebody you know, just to make it come out of your mouth. Believe me, you will learn it better if you say it than if you don't. Add to it anything you want, but be able to tell the whole story and put as much stuff on as you want. Because let me, if you go to church and you can quote a lot of stuff from the Bible, but you can't make it simple and basic, it's going to go over the head to people you talk to. Many Christians think if they just quote scripture, God's word is going to do the supernatural thing. And God's word does affect people, but the more you can explain it to people so their brains get it. And if you could say, if someone says to you, well, God created everything, where'd he come from? And you can explain it to them in something simple. Or how did the Jews start? Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. He wrestled all night with, and he had 12 sons, and his sons got sold to Egypt, and they became, you know the story. You know it. And so I want to challenge you to practice talking to people about it. And next thing you know, you're going to be like, wait a minute, I know this stuff. I know this stuff. How many gospels are there?
Four.
How many gospels are there?
Four.
How many gospels are there?
Four.
Say them to me.
Four.
What are the three synoptic gospels? We did that a few weeks ago. My point is you have to keep repetition, repetition, repetition. Before you know, all the dots are going to connect and you're going to start knowing this stuff. Next week when you come, you're going to walk into Mount Sinai. We're going to have Mount Sinai here. We're going to have the tabernacle. And up until Easter, we're going to talk about Leviticus, Moses giving the laws. We're going to talk about what the laws mean, how they apply to us. Which ones apply to us? What all the dietary laws when he talked about? You probably never read it, but it says you can't eat animals unless they have a split hoof and they chew the cud. You can't eat an insect unless it has six segments to the leg and all kind of weird stuff. Well, we're going to talk about all that stuff and why God said it to them and how it applies to us. I'm going to give you these little buttons to say, ask me about Leviticus, and you're going to break it down. Okay? Amen. Amen. So, and of course, people are going to get saved. Amen. So let's all, amen. Hey! How many of you did not make a New Year's resolution? Okay, I want to impose one on you. Be a better Christian this year than last year. Whatever you did as far as reading your Bible and studying and praying and witnessing, take it up. And that's not from me. That's just from the Bible. Paul says, I press on that I may apprehend what Christ has apprehended for me. I want to keep pressing to be better and better. Don't settle. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.